So let's go back. Next question. What do I think about UFOs? Oh man. UFOs. It's interesting you asked that question, Eric, because my friends, welcome to the Sheep Get Sheared podcast. I'm your host, Austin Creed. My friends, welcome to the 500th episode of the show. It's gonna be a fun show. So I think a couple days ago, might have even been yesterday in the early morning, I put out a post on the community tab of this channel, and I said, hey guys, this is the 500th episode of the show, so I thought we'd do something different, something a little special. I asked you to post your questions that you have or stories you want me to tell or anything like that, because at the end of the day, my friends, as much as we want to talk about the issues, and we will talk about them, rest assured, I'm not going soft on you. We're going to talk about the topics of the day. We're going to talk about the issues that people don't touch with a 39.5-foot pole, much like people won't touch the Grinch around Christmas time. They won't touch them real issues. I think today, you know, we might want to have a little bit of a different show today. So, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to give you guys a little backstage pass to what it is I see from the creator's side. So this is the post I posted on the community channel, and the community tab. So here's what I got in response. We got Eric, shout out to him. He gave me a couple questions. SMR gave a question. Daniel had a really interesting question about finance. So we're going to hop into these, and then you know what? I'll tell a couple stories that I don't think I've told on the channel before. So we're going to first hop into the questions, and then we'll hop into some stories. And my friends, this might be a little more of a long show. I don't know. All depends. I don't usually script my shows at all. If you've been here long enough, you know I don't tend to script the show. I tend to just address the topic, and I let it just flow. I wouldn't call it shooting from the hip, but at the same time, I don't pasteurize things. I don't have it go through a bunch of spooks in the government. I don't have it go through a bunch of bums in the FCC. I don't have it do any of that stuff. That's why we get shadow banned on YouTube big time. But hey, you want to grab macho like me, you could grab some coffee, you could grab, I don't know, maybe you want a mimosa, because it's, you might need it for a long week ahead, who knows. But what we're going to do is we're going to explore and answer these questions one by one, and you'll get my answers. So let's start with Eric. Eric had five different questions, so I'll share the screen one more time, and we'll go through these one by one. Let's see, first question, how was my Europe trip? Well, thank you for asking, brother, I appreciate that. It was great. For those of you who don't remember, I was in Europe for about 2.5 weeks, traveling with the family who I haven't seen the family much until somewhat recently. Because I was in the military, I was in college, I just was always doing my own thing. So seeing the family again has been nice, it's been a little different. So, overall, the trip was awesome. I went, let's see, where all did we go? Started off by going to London. London was interesting. I got to see the Tower of London. Tons of rich history. Amazing stuff. I enjoyed that. I got to see the royal collection of all the jewels that the royal family has. Let me tell you, they are one of the richest families in the world for a reason. I think they're at the top three, maybe top five richest families in the world, the royal family of Britain. I think the Saudis are still number one with all the oil they have. But let me tell you, the biggest diamond I have seen in my life, I think that has ever been mined out of Africa, I saw it on display in the Tower of London, and it was crazy, absolutely wild to look at the history. You see the armor of Henry VIII just sitting there on his horse almost like 1,000 years ago. Like, it's wild stuff, dude, to look at the history of like 1,000 years ago when Charlemagne came through, and looking at some of the old Roman relics that have been around since the days of ancient Rome. When Julius Caesar came to Britannia. This is all fascinating stuff, by the way. But that was just London. After that, went to Croatia, went to Zagreb, I went to Dubrovnik, I went to what's the name of the national park? I'm blanking on it. The name of the national park that has all of the waterfalls. I've never seen so many waterfalls in my life. I've been to Niagara Falls in, it was Victoria Falls. I'm sorry, not Niagara Falls. Victoria Falls in Zambia, Zimbabwe, now Botswana area. I've seen that. When I went to Croatia and I saw the magnificent waterfalls out there, dude, I was standing and walking around the lakes, and I've said this multiple times, I said, this is a cradle of civilization. I can imagine why people decided to settle here. So much rich soil, so many fish, so much water, it was beautiful. In case you guys didn't know, Dubrovnik has a ton of rich history. They actually filmed a lot of the Game of Thrones, like King's Landing, out, like, they ever showed, like, the drone shots of around King's Landing from the outside, it was Dubrovnik. They have tons of, like, landmarks and tours showing where the film crew went through. It was fascinating stuff. Can I pull up these pictures? I don't think I put them on this computer. I'll try to show you guys a couple of these pictures. Maybe if I can't show them and they don't show up really well right now, I'll upload them. And then I'll edit them in here, but I'll have to show you guys a couple of pictures that because this is a Microsoft computer, it's a little bit harder for me to share a lot of pictures that I would normally show on, like, my laptop or something. But you know what was really interesting that I got to see was Bosnia and Mostar. And you look at, there's this bridge. Hold on, let me pull up this bridge. Hopefully you guys can see. Can you guys see this? This bridge right here? You see that? Hopefully that comes through the camera. Okay. That's the bridge of Mostar. And that bridge was built by... Okay, before it fell during the war in the 90s, it was built by Suleiman the Magnificent, the Sultan of the Ottoman Empire. Yeah. You know, the guy that you could play in a lot of strategy games on, like, Civilization V, Age of Empires, all that kind of stuff? Yeah, that's the same guy. He built that bridge. Not the one that you see right there, because it fell during the war in the 90s, which was a whole other thing I learned about when I went there to the Balkans. But that bridge, that whole structure, that thing was stood there for hundreds of years, built by Suleiman the Magnificent. So I have all kinds of pictures. I'll have to show you guys a couple. I need to look. Where is this? Why is it not showing me the name? You know, sometimes it shows you. So these, I'll show you guys some of the waterfalls that I was talking about, like this. That's one of the waterfalls right there. Let me show you guys another one. I don't know how to pronounce this stuff in Croatian, so that's why I don't remember the exact name of it. But, like, look at this stuff, man. Like, you don't find this stuff in America. You know, this stuff is amazing. I got to see a lot of very interesting art in all over. So this guy was like the Croatian George Washington. I forget the guy's exact name. I know I'm not a proper historian. I'm sorry. Well, we saw a lot of things in a very short period of time. But what was interesting is if you look at that area, a lot of it is very complicated with religion. And they have signs kind of like this where you see a sign of the Star of David, the cross, and the crescent moon of Islam. And the whole region's history is heavily wrapped up in religion. And that's one of the main reasons, if not the main reason, why they hate each other and why there's been so much war and everything throughout there. And, oh yeah, I forgot to show you guys this one. Hercules. I don't know why they had a ton of stuff about Hercules over there, but they had multiple statues of Hercules. Oh, I forgot to tell you guys this story. Oh, this is a great story. Okay. I know this is a long answer, but I'll get to the food. I'll get to... the food, but give me 1 second. There was this restaurant I went to. We visited Spain, to Malaga in Spain, and this guy had a restaurant that we met. He has some of the best, like, red pill shit I've ever seen in my life. Look at this. Look at this shit. Look at this. Look at the stuff he had in the bathroom, man. Can you guys not see that? Maybe the light's kind of flashing it, but it says, half price sale to the left, 221 miles away, fresh water a fourth mile away to the right, and the woman's crawling to the sail. And then look at this. 1980s versus 2000s women. Look at this, guys. Look at this. Look. We got flat backs on the 1980s, and then a bunch of pogs and fat women on the 2000s. Oh, man. Okay, here's another one. It says, I still miss my ex-wife, but my aim is improving. And this is right in front of the urinal in Stu's restaurant, man. I'm not making this up. This guy was awesome. And then it's right below it. There's a sign that says beer, helping ugly people have sex since 1862. Look at this, guys. This was at this guy's restaurant. It was the funniest thing I saw in Europe by far. And then look at this, guys. I didn't get to talk to this guy. His wife was actually, his like third wife was working the restaurant when we were there. Yeah, you heard me right. Like his third wife. He had a whole story about it in the menu at his restaurant. But look at this. Look at this graph. Bachelor, married, divorced, using Lions. Guys, this is why we do the show, man. There are tons of men who will agree with what we say, whether it's they've been through a marriage, they haven't, and they just see the realities of the world. Oh, here's a good one. Here's a little story. I'd show this one, but the writing's kind of small. I'll read it to you. Just to show you what's real, and I'm not making it up, I'll read you the story on the graph. It says, a prince asked a beautiful princess, will you marry me? Princess said, no. What happened? Well, said the prince, then lived happily ever after. He rode motorcycles, shagged skinny, long-legged, big-breasted women, hunted and fished, raced cars, went to nudie bars, dated women half his age, drank whiskey, beer, and Smirnoff, and never heard bitching from anybody, never paid child support or alimony. He boinked cheerleaders in college, kept his house and his guns, and ate Spam and crisps and beans, blew enormous farts, and never got cheated on. And while he was at work, and all his friends and family thought he was the coolest guy ever, cool as hell, he had tons of money in the bank, and he always left the toilet seat up. The end. I'm not making this up. This is in this dude's bathroom, man. Oh, we had great food too, by the way, at his restaurant. But guys, I took so many pictures of this dude's restaurant, man. Here's another one. His whole wall was covered in these little, like, snippets that people would call misogynist. I call them funny. It says, a wise man once said, you should treat your woman the way you treat your vacuum cleaner. Once it stops sucking, change the fucking back.
Oh, hell no.
Oh, this is reprehensible stuff, guys. Oh, no. If your wife or your girlfriend ever asks you the following, never give them the two names. If I was to arrange a threesome for your birthday, which of my friends would you pick to join in? Yo, man, this is some nutty stuff, dude. This was in Europe. This was in Spain. I found all this. But anyways, back to the second part of his question, because we're kind of going down a rabbit hole here. How was the food? Food was fantastic. And the reason I say that, not as much processed garbage. Food tasted fresh. Lots of olive oil in like the Mediterranean area. Fantastic. The pizza was better than it was in America by far. And my friends, I'll be honest with you. If you are not traveling, I highly recommend it. Now, I understand it might be out of your budget right now, so I'm not going to shame you if you can't do it. The only reason I get to travel to an extent is because my parents love to travel and they invite me. If they didn't invite me, I'd have to wait probably 10, 15 years from now before I really got to do the same thing. So, you know, just kind of getting that out of the way. But if you can't travel, like around Europe, around Africa, around Asia, then travel around the United States and see the different subcultures you might find throughout the United States, because there's plenty of that as well. But let's go back to Eric's question. He says, my grandfather loved European food and complained that most American food was for good reason. 100%. 100%, your grandfather was right. Because there's a lot of things that are banned in the EU that you can't put in foods. You can't put certain dyes, can't put certain additives, you can't put certain sugar substitutes and stuff like that because they know it's terrible for you and then it causes cancer. And a lot of them have free health care, so they want to make free health care. It's socialized medicine. The government pays for it. But they also get access to your medical records. They don't tell you that part. But what they do is they realize that if they don't ban these foods, they don't ban these toxic additives to the system, they're the ones going to be footing the bill instead of you, so they fix it. Government gets in line when it affects their pocketbooks. Never forget that. It says the food of his time was superior. I would say in general, the food has gotten only more pasteurized, more chemical over time. So that's probably true. But I will tell you, in Europe, the food is still fantastic from what I had. Especially the Muslim cuisine in Bosnia, by the way. Pita bread was fantastic. The halal food was actually really good. A lot of lamb chops, which was great. A lot of olive oil. A lot of hummus was actually really good. A lot of vegetables. Very healthy, actually. I could see why Elijah Muhammad wrote a book about how to eat to live to help save the African-American community back in the day. I do not for 2 seconds condone the Nation of Islam, because especially what they've said about Jews, don't even get me started on that. But I see what they're saying about food in general. Second question he asks. Did I face dangerous missions in the service? That's a complicated question. When I was in the Air Force, I wouldn't dealt with the nuclear weapons. So I was not on the front lines. I didn't shoot anybody. I didn't face direct confrontation in battle because I dealt with the nukes on the state side. I could have been on the NATO side, but I never got put there. So I dealt with, for example, when the Ukraine war first started and I was still in, they put us on high alert because they didn't know if we were going to be needed to turn the keys and prepare for emergency maintenance on the limited life components that needed to be changed out every week in the assets. So short answer, danger as in what you might consider traditional danger, no. But danger as in, did I get exposed to radiation every day? And there were tons of, there's even a joke in my squadron that the guys who were there for long enough, it was a running gag because a lot of the guys who worked in that squadron, they only had girls, they only had daughters, not a lot of them had sons. Who worked inside the WSA, the weapon storage area, where we actually did maintenance. But the guys who worked not in the WSA, but in the squadron building, which was on the other side of base, in the office, pushing papers and in the command structure, they had boys, but the ones who worked in the WSA, where I worked, not a lot of them had male children. And so there was a joke that the radiation neutered men. But, yeah. Okay, third question. What was my denominational upbringing? Well, my denominational upbringing was technically non-denom, but it was a lot closer to Baptist-type preaching. So I was surrounded by more Baptist doctrine, more traditional, what you might call traditional doctrine, but I think a lot of it's a misnomer because it's traditional for men, but it's not traditional for women. And I'll give you an example. There was a very... In the church I grew up in, there were women who were, they were joked about because people were very passive aggressive, as you know. In the church especially, people are very passive. They're not going to directly confront you unless they're the old timey, grandma who's going to say something really direct and people are going to be like, oh, look at that grandma, that's her. But a lot of them were like, oh, so-and-so, they fell in with a bad crowd. Or they went to college and they partied and they came back and... they wanted to get married or they wanted to move back to the hometown after going to Berkeley. Because I grew up in California, it was Berkeley. It was UC San Diego, UC Long Beach, UC San Francisco. A lot of UCLA, USC, a lot of those kind of schools, they would come back to the smaller town an hour away from the ocean near San Jose. And what they would do is they'd come back from college and people would talk about how, oh, maybe they fell with the wrong crowd or they had some relationship or whatever. And you could tell there was something different about them. But none of the adults would tell you that they were all here on the carousel. They're out here doing backflips on Chad, front flips on Tyrone, and getting Pookie to bust the cheeks open. They wouldn't tell you that. Instead, they'd do this.
You lied to me.
They just lie. They wouldn't talk about it at all and pretend like it didn't happen. Versus the dudes tried to do that, people would joke that he got around, that he was, he just wasn't a good guy anymore. They'd say that he fell off, he wasn't a real Christian. You know what I'm talking about. I hope you do. If you don't, then you just haven't been paying attention. But that's kind of what happened in my church, and that's why a lot of times it took me a while to realize what it was. And so over time, I started to expose my... When I went to college for the first time before I joined the military, I don't think I ever told you guys that. I was at college for a year before I even... I went to Biola University, a very, very famous Bible school, because I actually wanted to be a pastor, believe it or not. And there, I had some realities exposed to me about the red pill, the realities of relationships and all that kind of stuff. But you know what? I didn't accept it back then when I was 18, 19. I then joined the military not long after that, and then I ended up going to the college I'm at now. So, my friends, when I talk about denominational upbringing, I grew up more non-denom / Baptist, but I've been to Presbyterian churches, I've been to Pentecostal churches, I've been to Lutheran churches, I've been to all kinds of different churches, I've been to Catholic Mass, I've been to all kinds of different churches, so... I don't just talk about my church that I grew up in. I've been to multiple churches around the country. Wyoming, Colorado, California, Arizona, Oklahoma, you name it. I've been to multiple of them, so. That's why it may seem like I'm just talking about the one church I grew up in, but I traveled around a pretty decent amount. I've been to churches in Zambia. I've been to churches in Europe. I've been all over the place. Been around the world, man. So let's go back. Next question. What do I think about UFOs? Oh, man. UFOs. You know, it's interesting you asked that question, Eric, because at the end of the day, I honestly don't care very much, and I'll tell you why. As somebody who learned a lot about the disgusting stuff the U.S. government has done with nukes, which some of which I don't know if I can talk about because I may or may not have signed certain paperwork that would restrict my speech at the risk of potential prosecution, so I can't go into specifics. At least I don't know if I can go into specifics of what the United States has done when it comes to nukes, like in the Pacific Ocean and stuff like that. I don't doubt the U.S. government's ability to do anything, whether it's conspiracy theories, hiding the idea about aliens. I don't doubt it. I don't doubt that the U.S. government, if they do exist, could hide that from the people. But at the end of the day, I don't care very much about UFOs because I've met people who are like, oh, UFOs can't exist because God, you know, Jesus would have to go to die for their sins too and all that stuff. And I'm like, man, says who? Like, what? I don't understand people who talk like that. It doesn't make any sense to me, but, you know, whatever.
What?
UFOs, I don't think that it's impossible for them to exist. In fact, I think it's highly likely that if they do exist, we would never know about it because the government would not give that information to us. But I also think it's equally possible that the whole thing is just another way to distract people away from, like, a sleight of hand Jedi mind trick to distract people from the real disaster the government does on a daily basis. All right, let's go to the next question. What do you think about the 2001 big event? That's a tough one. Have I gone down the rabbit hole? I was young when it happened, that is true. I assume you're talking about the planes that hit certain buildings. I assume you're talking about 9/11. You know, I've heard multiple things about that. One of the interesting things about pretty much any conspiracy theory, The only difference between a conspiracy theory and a non-conspiracy theory is that the government actually validates it. Let's just establish that as a definition. But when it comes to 2001, again, I'll repeat what I said before. I don't doubt the government's ability to do anything. But the question I ask whenever somebody asks a question like that, and trust me, I get them more than you might expect when they find out that I had a TS clearance in the U.S. government to deal with nukes and stuff, but let me tell you, I don't doubt the government's ability to do anything. My next question is only, who stands to gain by staging something like that, if it was staged? That's my only question. Because Bush looked pretty bad after that happened. He didn't look like a strong leader. He did not look like a go-getter. He looked like he was desperate to shift the blame away from his own incompetence to somewhere else, and that's why he got us into Iraq. That's why he got us into Afghanistan, was to divert himself away while simultaneously pacifying the military-industrial complex, which were, in my estimation, a lot of his supporters were putting money in his pocket. So I could see how it was a very big, like, reality moment. I could totally see that. But at the end of the day, I don't know what totally happened. I don't believe the guy... Just with what's happened with Trump recently, I don't believe everything the government says. In fact, I'm inclined to not believe anything that the government says. So when it comes to 9/11, which I assume is what you're referring to, do I believe that certain things could have, may or may not have been faked or duped or an inside job or whatever? Do I think it could happen? Absolutely. But again, it comes back down to, why did things shake out the way they did if it was an inside job, or if there was more nefarious forces at play? So that's my answer. Without, you know, having the FBI knock on my door. Let's see. Next question. An overview of my connection. Overview of who I am and my connection to the Bible and religion. He says, I'm so over religion, the fixation and confuses. Okay. Well, first of all, thank you for saying that I'm smart. I appreciate that. Let's see. Very pregnant question. Who am I? I'm a free thinker. Not to quote God, because I'm not God, but I am who I am. I'm a guy who's just a free thinker. Somebody who is just another... at the end of the day, I'm just another guy that you would pass on the street. You never notice. Besides the fact that I'm taller than the average guy, you never see me as anyone different than anybody you walk by on the street. I'm not a celebrity. I'm not some guy who's smarter, better, stronger, faster than anybody else. I just have a free-thinking mind, and I tend to keep to myself. As to Bible and religion, I grew up Christian. My family has Judaism in it, more secular than Orthodox or anything like that. But the reason I find religion interesting, I've said this before, and you'll probably hear me say it again, that religion is important, but it is a pillar upon which someone builds their life. It is not the only pillar. It is not the only thing that you're meant to build your life upon. I'll tell this story later, I think. I don't want to tell every single story ever right now, but what I will tell you, my friends, is when it comes to religion, I think religion is important. Actually, I'll tell the story. I'll probably tell it again later. But when I was in the military in basic training, I used to read my Bible every day because it brought me comfort. And then my military training instructor, he pulled me aside once, and he told me that religion is meant to be a pillar. There are multiple pillars upon which somebody builds a balanced life. And he told me that if I only depended on religion, then I would rob myself of growth in other areas of my life. Physically, psychologically, emotionally. He told me that it would rob me of a chance to grow and equally in all areas. And that was an eye-opening moment for me. I don't classify myself as any one thing. I like to be more of a free thinker. I would say I agree more with a mix between traditional Orthodox Judaism and Christianity, more Protestant than Catholic, but I appreciate the Catholic Church and what they've done in their art style and everything else. But when it comes to religion in particular, I think the religion is important, but I don't understand people who are overly zealous and they live, breathe, and die by everything the religion ever does. Because I don't ever claim to speak for God. I don't ever claim to be God. I don't claim to know more than anybody else. I just have my perspective, and I back it up with facts and history and psychology and everything else. And so I understand why a lot of people are disillusioned. Sorry, I'm getting a little in my own head at the moment, trying to decide how I want to phrase this, because this is a very delicate subject. Fuck it. I'll just be totally upfront and honest. At the end of the day, religion's important, but I think common sense is more important. I think it's more important for you to be balanced than it is for you to be zealous, because at the end of the day, a lot of people have done a lot of horrible things in the name of religion. But it doesn't mean that religion is horrible, nor does anybody who practices it inherently make them terrible. I think that if you use religion, which is meant to help you get along with your fellow man and help you understand more complex and arguably incomprehensive subjects of the universe and the complexities thereof, I think once you understand it, what it's actually used for, then you can find it as, it's not meant to consume your life, it's meant to be a supplement to your life, a pillar, not the pillar. Hopefully that answers your question. Oh boy, getting into money, huh? Let's talk money. Daniel's got a money question. Says he's been exploring the world of finances. Futures trading has been helpful. Says he drives Uber full time. That's a tough job, man. That is a tough, thankless job. Shout out to you. That is fantastic. That's a red pill job right there. And it allows me to diversify my income, which is great. You want multiple sources of income. Sorry, I'm getting a little out of breath. How long have we been talking already? I've not been keeping track of time. Wow, we're already 30 minutes in. All right. This is going to be a long show, but I'm here for it. All right. So let's see. Now we're talking about money. Eric's giving some good advice down here, which I thought was great. Okay, I asked him a clarifying question. Here's what he said. He said, I think the individual quest for financial freedom is very important to us as biblical bachelors. This is true. Men of the Bible and the patriarchs were blessed by God. He says, I'm not a believer in the prosperity gospel. Neither am I. Prosperity gospel is ridiculous and stupid, in my opinion. Which is heresy, agreed. Along with Crimson Woke Christianity. Look, Crimson Christianity is a huge risk out here. For those of you who don't know what Crimson Christianity is, it's subtle influx of more communist doctrine into the church to subvert it from within. Herbert Marcuse, Bill Ayers type strategy learned by the Bolsheviks from the 1910s in Russia. I could go down a political rabbit hole right here, but I've done it before and I'll probably do it again. But let's get into financial freedom, shall we? As a guy who is actively working towards this every day, I'll tell you what's worked for me thus far as somebody who has successful people in my family, but number one, they don't give me like anything and I wouldn't ask them to. And I oftentimes feel like I'm living in other people's shadows when it comes to this regard. But when it comes to financial freedom, number one, there are no shortcuts. Can you make money off of crypto? Yes. I know a guy who bought Bitcoin in my family at $5. You can imagine how much money he has now. Okay? He bought it back when there was no exchange. You bought it like an old school stock. Okay? I'll let you figure out how much money he has now. He bought like 1,000 Bitcoins when it was like $5. So, yeah, you can imagine how much money he has now. So when you have a guy like that in your family, you realize that is there a way to make money off of it, off of investment? Oh, yes. A lot of money to be made off investing. But you never know if it's going to pay out, number one. So there are no shortcuts. I talk about financial freedom and biblical bachelorism in the book itself, which I would suggest you get if you enjoy what you're watching. If you've watched this far, then you love the show. You love this community. You're probably a big member in it. And if you haven't read or listened to the book, I recommend you do it. Not because I want to make money off of it, but because it'll just help you understand more of where I'm coming from. This Q&A will probably mean more to you if you read the book or listen to it. But anyways, going back to being blessed by God, you know, it's an interesting topic to discuss because you look at the fact that the patriarchs of ancient Israel are very different than the modern day church leadership, with the men today almost look like eunuchs compared to them with how they operate and how they talk, especially Abraham. Abraham didn't hold back anything. He was faithful to God, but he didn't take crap from people, and he was feared. He was a force to be reckoned with. Financial freedom, let's get back to that. It's important to understand there are no shortcuts, I said that. But second, you have to be able to take risk. I don't recommend people just get a dead-end 9-to-5 job that they hate to pay their bills. Because while you're paying your bills, you're slowly kind of killing yourself. You're slowly putting yourself in a situation where you're going to learn to hate yourself and self-loathe. And I say that as someone who did that for a little bit of time. And it was terrible, and I stopped doing it. Now, could I have more money in my bank account right now if I was doing that and less hustle work? Like I'm going to take a job. I'm changing jobs. I'm getting a new job in about a couple weeks where I'm going to be moving to Kansas City, and I'm going to be working on more contracting type of work. So the more I work, the more I get back. I'm not just going to sit back and be worked for 12 hours a day like I was in the military and get the same pay whether I do a good job or a horrible job. I don't suggest you do that. I suggest you invest in yourself, because then you will meet people who also invest in themselves, and then you can compare notes and you can do business together. I would like to quote Jay-Z. I don't quote rappers or performers very much, because a lot of them are paid stooges in my humble opinion. Not to call them names, but that's just what they do, because that's who pays them. It's basically be a jester. But Jay-Z said, "I am not a businessman. I am a business man." That's what I suggest that you do. That's what I actively do. I think it's important to be real with yourself and to understand where you're at and to understand where it is you want to go, because then your financial freedom will mean that much more, and you won't have to spend your money to forget that you're unhappy. So that's what I have to say on that. But is that the last question? I think that is the last question. Well, my friends, let me know what you thought. Let me know if you enjoyed it. I think I'd like to do these more often. I think it'd be more fun. Get a little more interaction over here on the channel. But let me know what you thought. If you have any more questions, I can post another one of these if you want me to. You have any further questions you want to expand upon what we talked about today, let me know. I'll be putting out probably another show today as well, because I want to talk about self-loathing. We'll get into that, kind of tying into financial freedom and whatnot. But in the meantime, my friends, let me know what you thought. Let me know any advice you have. Until next time, I'm out of here. Take care of yourselves. Thank you for your continued patronage, being active members in the community. I appreciate you. I'm out. Peace.